Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
CJ Heard of Grind City Media is going to join us during the next segment. Before we do that, let's get into the list. The National Football League. All right, boys, we got week one action almost nearly completed in the books. We still, of course, tonight have Monday Night Football, so we have the Vikings and the Bears tonight. But of course, the big question is, what
week,
was it?
Week one's a full week, you know.
What was it going to look like with the red zone with commercials?
That was the big question.
So for me, the real big question was, okay, who's going to advertise? Because I would like to be able to boycott these companies. But for instance, if Popeyes showed up and they were advertising, like, let's be real, I'm not going to boycott Popeyes. Like, that's not.
There's the ones that were safe. There's the
correct
ones that are totally safe.
So I
what
didn't...
Popeyes do you visit in the city?
Oh, buddy, it doesn't matter. The main one I usually go is the one on Poplar.
Poplar and Colonial?
Yeah.
By Poor People Target?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sick.
By Central, by whatever we call it, whatever, the Central Target. So it's Wingstop. And I want to be clear, I don't have anything against Wingstop, but Wingstop is definitely one of those places that I can sit there and go, I don't have to eat wings there.
So Wingstop was the big sponsor.
Wingstop was the big sponsor. I also found myself after the early window, like in the afternoon, we had only four games going. I just turned Red Zone off.
Wait, too many commercials? Or it's,
it no, was, got four
you had to put on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
I'm the guy that when you watch on Red Zone, it's you don't get a feel for the game.
Well, sure.
Like they're breaking in. So I had enough. I had enough screens to watch all four games that were going on. So I don't know.
That's fair. So that makes sense. Yeah.
I know there were some like DraftKings like break-ins, but they'd been doing that for a little bit. So I don't know if they ran anything other than I only saw two Wingstop ads.
So is this too early to declare? Like, is too early to call right now if this is an awful,
I will say
terrible,
this
worst thing to happen in the NFL in 20 years like you're acting like?
Deshaun Watson got signed to a multi-year contract for $1 billion.
Should the Browns just lean into it and sign Tucker? I mean, they missed some field goals yesterday. They could have won a game. Then the question is, do they want to win? So it does noticeably kill the flow. Because
right,
they also started doing the...
So the flow, because there's the flow of the regular game, but then there's
right,
also the flow of red zone.
Of the red zone. But
it's a different flow.
I still contend my biggest concern is it's just when you give Goodell an inch, he takes 10 miles. And it's just, it starts with one commercial, and then it's going to be, well, we're only going to do 15-second ads once every hour, and then all of a sudden we're just going to have commercial breaks.
I feel like it's going to be a regular show at some point where it is a lot of commercials.
I think it'll be limited commercials, but I think there's going to be commercials, like a commercial break every hour.
Like up to that 16 minutes an hour or something, you think, at some point?
So what?
Like, is every 22 minutes?
So what?
Eight minutes
for every 30 minutes, so yeah. 16 minutes. I think
that they're going to get to that at some point in our lifetime.
Our lifetime.
That, well, this took 20 years to get commercial, so I feel like...
I don't like NFL Red Zone. Maybe that's a hot take.
No,
I don't like the TikTokification of everything.
If I'm watching... Well, the Giants
TikTok.
Suck.
Maybe TikTok was inspired by Red Zone.
So just everything is ADHD.
I agree with you.
Let's
focus. My team sucks, so I do not enjoy watching my team.
Mm.
So
you got to watch something else.
Correct.
And if you play fantasy, Red Zone is there to show, hey, here's a score happening. Is this person on the team you're playing against or on your team?
Yeah, but my team has not always sucked, and I totally agree with you. If your team is good and you're interested in watching the game, I do not think it's the best way to watch football.
My team's been relatively good my entire life. There's a hole in the roof of their stadium so God can watch his favorite team every Sunday.
Yeah, and so, but I do agree with, like, you don't get the flow of a game. Like,
well, it's a different flow. I think you pointed out something very interesting. I mean, you have the flow of a football game, but you also have the flow of Red Zone, and which is its own unique flow of just, it is like all-you-can-eat buffet. Like, you're just nonstop just consuming the football, and that flow is now interrupted. Can it survive the flow? I think it needs more. I don't know. I wonder if we'll get to the where it feels like a real TV show. Like that's your biggest concern. Like if a real show that's going to go to commercials enough to fit in 16 minutes of commercials an hour, which is.
Well, then the other question I started thinking about. So the fantasy football player definitely is like, well, I don't understand people that don't watch Red Zone. But when you look at the actual number of people that watch football versus watching Red Zone, it is a minuscule amount. It's around like 1 million people. And if we have a big Sunday afternoon game, it's 40 million people.
Sure.
I did find myself wondering, what if this is Goodell saying, like, because the networks don't like Red Zone. They used to start like very passive aggressively changing how their graphics looked so that if you showed it on Red Zone, it would stretch out based on like the way that it was presented. I did find myself wondering, like, is Goodell slowly like just trying to kill Red Zone so that way everyone has to watch network or has to buy Sunday ticket?
Everybody doesn't have to do either of those things. I watch the game every week for free.
Well, are you not a little worried?
About what?
Didn't they just shut down one of the big
dude?
RIP Stream East.
I know we're on an ESPN radio. Am I allowed to talk about this?
We're an affiliate.
I go to YouTube and I type the game I want to watch, and somebody else is watching it and just screen sharing.
Yeah, but don't they have like the big, like, I always feel like there's like a big block in the middle or something that blocks the screen.
Sometimes they have that when they're like, oh, they're getting on to me, we got too many viewers, and then it'll go away. And then you got to cut the live chat off. But I can watch most of the games I want to watch. The other thing is, like, the Cowboys are on Peacock a lot.
Well, the Cowboys is the easiest team nationally to follow.
Yes, God's favorite football team.
Well, it's just the most marketable and the highest rated football team.
Because God loves them. I mean, yeah, this is a very clear tie-in here.
So is this like y'all's period of Job where he's just testing you?
Jimmy Johnson curse.
Okay. So.
Okay, but, all right, but, well, so you could find, like, what are you saying? What are you explaining about the...
Like, I wonder if, like, in the end, what he's trying to do is kill off Red Zone because... Well, he wants, like, A, he wants the networks...
Or monetize it.
Like, he wants the networks to be happy so they continue to pay exorbitant amounts of money.
But somebody can pay for Red Zone. Like, you can make money on Red Zone and all the others.
You could make it a subscription service.
Or if he wants to just keep boosting up...
But isn't it going to ESPN in some capacity in this new deal?
Because they bought NFL Network. I mean, the reality is that we're a few short years away from everything being an ad.
Well,
we may already be there.
I think we might already be there.
Everything is an advertisement.
Like everything is
designed to sell you something.
Yeah, it could be the Red Lobster Zone.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Hey,
I don't give them ideas.
Love those Cheddar Bay biscuits, though.
I did find myself yesterday. I've always been like in the great Chili's Applebee's war. I'm a Chili's guy.
Yeah, you've always been on Team Chili's.
But, I mean, man, some of those...
I'm not going to get problematic here.
Some of those Applebee's commercials have got me thinking, like, maybe it's worth a shot.
There's a very real conflict in the world right now that is about the same as Applebee's and Chili's, where there's no right side. They're both wrong.
Okay, but, like, I know what I'm getting at that level. Like, I'm not defending it as if, like, this is going to a steakhouse. But when you are in the mood for Chili's... It works.
We know what you're saying. Yeah.
Are those the only two that are in that tier?
They're very much the same thing. Is Outback there?
Because if Outback's there, it's not even close.
Well, Outback's not in that. That's a different.
Yeah, to me, this is like
in a different sphere.
Yeah,
it's themed more
because of the Australian.
I think
it's also like it's a state. Like they're trying to go for like to me, Outback has a place. It's the I'm on a traveling sales job and I want more than Chili's.
You want more than Chili's?
Right.
Oh, what's the next step up?
I put it a step up. It's a different tier.
Love that Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. It's just like I love the bread.
What other national chain is on that tier of Outback? Are you
Red Lobster?
Are you putting like Red Lobster on
I
that?
Think Red Lobster and Outback.
What tier is Olive Garden?
Olive Garden's very there. Much in that. Macaroni Grill's in that category.
Where?
Do we even have those anymore?
No, they don't. I don't even know if anybody has those anymore. I don't know. They might be around.
That was like one of those Texas chains.
Texas is Texas. Outback they should have kept everything.
Outback's
there.
In the same category as like Longhorn and Texas Roadhouse.
Which one's where you put there you throw the peanut shells on the ground?
Longhorn.
See, I think it's in a different category because what Bobby pointed out, it's very confusing. The Longhorn and the Texas Roadhouse, which one is which? Where am I? Yeah. But anyway, we got off track. But Applebee's you were Team Chili's, but now you were going to Applebee's.
I'm just saying they're
what's bringing you to Applebee's?
They advertise heavily with the NFL. And
you're being convinced.
They made the fancy song.
Correct. And then they've got the ads with Dan Campbell, like the play calling. They have like their version of whatever the triple dipper is. I'm just saying it had me interested.
I mean, football season, really. I mean, I realized that this was either this weekend or last weekend, but it was like, man, I'm back in. It's like commercial consumption season again,
yes.
Right? Because like you can go, like you have to watch commercials.
Yes.
There's going to be commercials. And the Red Zone was that safe place where you did not have to, like you still felt like it was kind of watching other stuff, right? Yeah, I didn't have commercials. Hey, we freed ourselves from commercials. And no. If you're watching regular football, you're now Red Zone, back to commercial season, and see what everybody's checking in with your favorite brands and your least favorite brands.
All right, so the other thing I was thinking about is, okay, with the NFL, we always believe the NFL can take over any day, right?
The entire world?
Pretty much.
The United States government?
Like, at least
they're trying to take over
Christmas Day. Television consumption.
Oh, okay.
They can dominate it.
Oh, yeah, any day of the week they can put a game on, and they're going to guess that they're going to be the top-rated thing.
So I started to wonder, though, the YouTube numbers from Friday came out. It's like 16.7 million, which is still a massive number, but in the NFL sphere of standalone games, especially considering it had the Chiefs involved, mm-hmm. That is not a great number.
Could it be that we're tired of Kansas City?
Well, no. Well, I do think there's a question of Kansas City fatigue. I need more information because I think there was a lot of Chiefs fatigue last year, but their numbers were still insane.
I don't see where y'all think the fatigue is coming from. I really don't.
It's coming from me.
The best team in football. You have if you're getting the fatigue, then that means you're going to be cheering against them. And I think you want to watch them in sports. It's important to have the villain to cheer against. And I think the fatigue is not going to prevent you from watching. I think you're going to want to watch and watch them lose. And that's exactly what they did on Friday.
So,
yeah, because it was the regular season. And they didn't get the calls.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking about is, A, it's a game where Taylor wasn't going to be there.
That's
so how do we know that?
Because it was an international. She does not go to the international. She's too busy.
The Swifties know.
I have something to address real quick.
Go ahead.
She was not going to go to that game. Were they playing in Brazil or something?
I've been hosting Cerrito Trivia for several weeks now, and it seems like every week there is a Taylor Swift category, theme, or question.
Mm-hmm.
Cerrito, is this because of you? Are you a Swiftie?
I openly admit I'm a Swiftie on air. I'm not.
But he also knows.
I've never had this conversation.
But he also
it is
knows. He knows what gets the people in the building.
People like Taylor Swift. They do.
So who are these people?
The Swifties.
I have never met one.
What? You've never met a Swiftie?
Does your wife not have friends?
We need the Swifties.
My wife listens to real music.
Okay, but how?
Hey!
How much younger are you than me? How old
are
you?
I'm 28. We're 28.
Y'all are a little on the younger, but it is like women around 35 because they grew up with her. Their whole life was like,
I hated it then.
But like what's happened is also now it's like women that are 35, they've now started
to have
kids. Well, they have kids and money, but like they've also started like it's. It is definitely.
You're telling me this is generational now? That there's going to be three generations of people that prop this lady up and force me to endure her?
I think if you think you can escape her, I would tell you just don't.
She is very talented. Very, very talented. And is the biggest music star since Elvis Presley.
Jack Antonoff does all
and
that
so
work, man.
There's just.
She just rides his coattails.
There's no disputing.
Jack is also the king of. He has a song that'll come out, I'm like, that's an unbelievable song. And then you listen to 10 other ones, and you're like, that all sucked.
Mm-hmm. But
like, whether it be Bleachers, whether it be the Taylor Swift album, like Antihero is an unbelievable song. Bleachers, like Fantastic. You'll hear a Bleachers single and you're like, that's amazing.
Honestly, guys, y'all could form a two-man band and Jack Antonoff could produce it and just somehow the Spotify numbers would go crazy.
Also with Antonoff, he has the ultimate, instead of Brady for Bledsoe, he's got like one of the all-time Bledsoe for Brady's. Like going from dating Scarlett Johansson to Lena Dunham. That's tough.
What is interesting, Jeffrey, get back to Taylor Swift.
That one's
here.
Tough.
I do know, people know she was not going to be at the game because it was the international game. That's the only reason they were able to play that game on Friday, right? And because the NFL is not going to go after Friday because they legally can't go after Friday.
Correct.
And they find loopholes to do it. And we had the game on Friday this year. I do think the day of the week matters. I do think Friday night football is tough to take over. If they tried to go after college, which they're legally not allowed to on Saturday, I think they would have some issues with that as well.
Well, I mean,
especially like
that's where I struggle.
High school ball exists. Like these small towns are not going to turn on the TV when they go watch their kids play football.
I do think Friday night is a night that they can't take over. I actually think this is less Chiefs fatigue. I mean,
there are real laws on the books. Friday and Saturday, they legally can't
correct.
Do Friday and Saturday. But like, I think Saturday, if they could come in and do a game on a Saturday, how do you think it would do up against college football? I think in the Southern United States, I think it would do so awful.
Well, we don't care not about that they, it compared to the rest of the country. Like the NFL,
that's what I'm saying. Like
South just
like we
yeah,
watch
but like
it on
we,
Sunday because
like
that's
we try
what's
to,
on.
The playoff game that goes up against the NFL usually gets swallowed up. And granted, now like the playoff game this year was SMU and Penn State, so it's not like to give the example.
But that's
like if Tennessee,
I think
Georgia,
there's so many games happening that it will overshadow one NFL game versus if it's
well,
one
it was
on
the Saturday.
One.
It was like the
if
Saturday
it's a
specials
one game.
Yeah, it was like one of the Saturday Netflix games or whatever the NFL Network.
Sure. I mean,
whatnot.
The NFL is a rating juggernaut, and I think the Kansas City Chiefs are well, and I think fatigue from them is only going to turn into hate because there are people like Bobby who hate Taylor Swift, and so they're going to cheer against the Chiefs. That helps them even cheer. They hate
not
the Chiefs
why I cheer against the Chiefs,
but you also but that gives you more reason
helps,
and more incentive.
I think hate is a hell of a motivator.
But, I mean,
oh, for sure,
second only to fear.
But rooting, you know, for against a team to win is a very important part of sports. Like who yes. you're betting on, who's on your fantasy team, who is your favorite team, and who's your least favorite team. Those are the factors.
Yeah, I do think though. Bobby is right in this sense. I think the problem with them trying to take over Friday, and to Kevin's point, they can't do it until the Sports Broadcasting Act gets either changed or
is that like an antitrust law that I'm not aware of?
It's yeah, I mean it's part of the antitrust exemption, but essentially what it says is starting, I believe it's the first week of September, so whatever, it's like Labor Day, the NFL cannot broadcast on Saturdays during that window that college football has protected. And then it starts to protect Friday night football starting. I can't remember if it's exactly the same dates, but it's to protect high school football and all that. So there's a reason why
okay.
we have Thursday, Monday, and then special holidays or whatnot. But I do think a big part of it was like people still go to their high school games.
Yeah.
And you're not trained to know Friday night is an NFL night.
There's not a TV.
Right.
That may be why the NFL could do better against college on Saturday, because you're at least trained to watch football on television
correct.
On Saturday. Well, on Friday, you're not. That's the day. That's family movie night, or we're going to go to the game. You're just not watching football on television on a Friday.
Yeah, I don't want to see Pat Mahomes play more than I want to see my nephew play, even though they have the same stupid haircut.
Well, like, please tell me your nephew's not Dylan Raiola.
This was on YouTube, Jeffrey. This
yes.
game was on a channel, quote unquote, that you never watch football on, even though it made it free. It was easy to access for everybody, but it was there. And I think maybe it's the long week, right? Like it was a long opening week. It started, we had Thursday, Friday, jump to Sunday, then Monday. Like it's just too much. Like if it started the season on Friday, then I think that more people would have watched, but it started the before then. You know,
and
the
most important game was on Thursday night.
Right.
Well,
so
I mean,
then you're
honestly,
just playing catch up the rest of the weekend.
If that Thursday
and
game
was
on Friday, I think it would get over your Friday thing a little bit more. I think the ratings would have been a little bit. But also, if it was on Friday on YouTube, then it would have been still more confusing. But night one is obviously more important than night two. And with only one game going on was the Kansas City, Kansas
so like,
City Chiefs versus the iPhone Chargers.
So we had, to Bobby's point on Thursday, 28.3 million. So nearly 12 million more people. Now, granted, it's NBC, it's network. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder, is there – Have we decided, like, we've hit a saturation point on the number of new places we can watch football?
Possibly, but also what the numbers we're getting is like from options. YouTube. Who watched that? Is that who's giving us the numbers? Because it's not a Nielsen.
That was the Nielsen number for Friday night.
YouTube didn't measure it. They measured the Friday night. Okay, because it calls it.
I think YouTube was trying to not have it measured.
I think that's really easy data to get, though. I mean, you can look, it's streaming live, and you can just see how many people are watching when something's live.
On YouTube, you can't. So it's supposed to be more transparent than the Nielsen ratings, because you're not watching the game, and it's not saying this many people are watching the game right now, and the number's going up and down on television.
You brought up,
we might reach that at some point.
You brought up fantasy football a second ago. I have something I really need to get off my chest. Greg Zatkowski, if you're listening right now.
Who?
Greg Zatkowski. He is my opponent in fantasy football this week. I'm only in one league. I take it very seriously. I made the mistake of being in a bunch of leagues. One league only. Greg Zatkowski, you have a 1% chance of winning if you start the Minnesota Vikings defense tonight. You should just sit them, and then you'll finish second place on the waiver wire. Don't worry about this week with me.
Manipulating the waiver wire?
Just sit the defense and enjoy your night.
Everybody makes their biggest adjustments between week one and week two.
You don't have to watch this ugly NFC North game tonight. Just sit your defense. Call it a day.
Greg Zatkowski.
He's a very nice guy.
He was at the draft.
I enjoyed sitting next to him at the draft.
AJ Lee.
But obviously, Greg Zatkowski, you are not ready
AJ's
to compete
back.
With me. So just, yeah, AJ Lee's back.
You've got that football. Yeah, she's back.
Yeah, I mean, my
the
football
act.
Started, and they were like, "Ah, oh, let's throw her.
Let's throw AJ back out there."
Yeah, it's AJ CM Punk versus Rollins and Becky at some point coming up.
At some point coming up.
All right,
soon. But more importantly, locally this Saturday, the Rumble at the Ravine, Memphis Made, September 13th. I'm live wire Bobby Ford. I'm in the main event against Tyler LeMasters. You can get tickets at the door, $15 general admission. All ages are welcome. We'll see you there.
All right.
September 13th.
Yeah, Good luck, and tickets are at the door, correct?
At the door.
All right. So we got tickets at the door. It is the Rumble at the Ravine. Go see Bobby on Saturday night. It'll be a great spot. We've already looked. Weather's going to be great. It's going to be in the 70s. Beautiful night. Yes. It's going to be nice. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got CJ Hurt of Grind City Media joining us next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
CJ Hurt is a Grind City Media personality. You can see him every single weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Make sure you're checking out the HBCU Huddle and the Odds Couple. Follow them on X at ConRadicalness. All right, CJ, take me through. I had Michigan plus the points. Take me through what was going through your fans' mind, because I'm obviously watching a score and I'm sitting there going like, all right, there's a couple of ways that if they can punch a touchdown here, maybe they don't win the game, they could stay inside the number. What was your emotional roller coaster watching the Michigan game against Oklahoma?
So the first, I don't know, three or four possessions, I was like, okay, they're going to do something different here. After that fourth possession, I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen. They're going to run it on first down. They're going to run it on second down. And then they're going to try and throw it. It's not going to work. They're going to punt it. And we're just in one of those types of games. They didn't do anything with that quarterback, Underwood. You went out there, you recruited him, you made him slip from LSU. You're paying him $10 million. I understand he's a freshman, but he's been there since the bowl. If I'm not mistaken, he went through spring practice.
Yes, he did.
Get on the road for Oklahoma, on the road, big game. And that's what you do. That's what you tried out there. The first half pops off, and the very first play from scrimmage, boom, 70-something yard touchdown run by Haynes. I was like, oh, okay, maybe, just maybe, they'll open it up after this. They'll play action pass the next time they get it on first down. Nope, it was nothing but runs and bubble screens the entire game. So that's where I was, frustrated, yelling at the TV, for the love of God, let the man throw the ball down the field. They really were real conservative with him. And I don't know, I just felt like there was no need to be. Nobody expected Michigan to go out there with a true freshman making his first start on the road to go out there and win the game. I just wanted to see what he had, what Underwood really had in him, or what he has in him. And I felt like more in the Michigan coaching staff protected him too much, and he didn't need that level of protection.
No, because the other thing that I thought was frustrating was I felt like they got a couple of breaks. You know, like there's a fumble on a punt return, and I'm with you. It's like I kept waiting for him to take a shot, but then it also felt like, you know, he's play faking to nobody, and I'm sitting there going like, how are you at this point? He's been your starting quarterback since the spring because they brought in Mikey Keene. Mikey Keene gets hurt in the spring. You knew this was going to be your guy. It's like, how do you not have him more ready than this? Like, I don't know. That was what was frustrating to me, is because I felt like there were a couple of opportunities for Michigan to really get back in the game, and they just did nothing with him.
I think that he is ready. That's the thing that is blowing my mind. I think that he is. And the risk you run now in today's era of college football, which I love tremendously, is if that's how you're going to call plays, why the hell would Bryce Underwood want to stay? You're talking about somebody who could transfer somewhere and play in a system that allows him to really showcase everything that he has to do. There are some quarterbacks that you have to ease into things. There are some quarterbacks who you don't want to put too much onto their shoulders because that can overwhelm them. I don't know if he is that way or not. I know that if you're planning on calling a game like the one you called against Oklahoma, if you're Michigan, it's going to lend itself to being a 7-5, 8-4 type of team. And I think there's some true talent on that roster, and at least enough talent for that not to be the goal, for 9-10 wins to be a realistic goal for the team. Now, that with all that being said, three of their four first downs in the first half, they only had four. Three of the four of them came off of Oklahoma penalties.
Yeah.
You know, like that offense, at a certain point, you do have to push the ball down the field. It is not always going to be Penn State versus Michigan, where Michigan runs the ball 30-something straight times. The defense for Oklahoma sat inside of, 5 to 8 yards. They didn't go back far at all. And with this type of quarterback, somebody who can push the ball down the field, somebody who can be accurate, somebody who can throw dudes open as well, if that's the way the defense is playing, that sets up perfectly for a play-action pass. At least take a shot down the field, and let's see if you can't get a big play out of it.
so far through 2 weeks, like what is your mind? What in your mind is the story of college football so far?
So far, 2 weeks, it is for me is a couple of them. One, how good is Oregon?
Saturday's like the is this actually the team to beat?
69-3.
Nice. Out of curiosity, just one, how good is Oregon? Two, what the hell is going on at Florida with Billy Napier? Like that's another one where it is, how do you lose to that team? Since South Florida has won two games over, at the time, two ranked teams. Not the team is ranked anymore because you lose to South Florida, you're not going to be ranked. But they've got those two wins, and I would say they've been the worst team in both of the games, both against Boise State and against Florida, and yet they somehow found ways to win those games.
How dare you, CJ? How dare you? The American is an elite conference when it comes to football. All right, go ahead. What's your next story? That's all I'll say.
They scored.
The American may be elite. That's South Florida, ain't. What are we talking
have
about?
They've had the two most impressive wins of any team.
Yeah.
They did as only score. Like, to CJ's point, they only scored one touchdown on Saturday.
I know that the wins have been looked State, impressive, but they've been impressive wins.
The Boise State win, I watched that Boise State game start to finish. And before, up till the fake punt, like the midway through the third quarter, I think it was like, oh, Boise State is moving the football. Boise State is going to get, going to bust this game wide open here soon. And it never happened. And I say that South Florida wasn't the better team against Boise State. And them dudes still won, 31-7? So hell, if you're telling me I could be the worst team and still beat another team by almost 30, hell, I guess I'd
something there.
Then maybe. I don't know. I think this thing all falls apart. How crazy is it that one of the premier games of the weekend is going to be on the CW and feature Miami and South Florida? Let that sink in for a moment.
Yeah. I'm trying to think all of that. All that whole sentence you just said. Yeah. Yeah, on the CW, we've got South Florida versus Miami. It's a big game. Yeah. I believe it.
Like, is Vanderbilt good? Vanderbilt just
throws, Diego is.
Virginia Tech. So that's another story. Thinking about how tough Virginia Tech played South Carolina the week before.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt got South Carolina this week, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
So that's a big story for not a big story, but that's a storyline that piques my curiosity some. Just Tennessee. Tennessee moves on from Nico, and now granted, it's been one game against inferior competition and one game against Syracuse, which is another power team, but they look pretty good.
72-17. Yeah, 72-17 this past weekend. Woo.
We'll find out more about what Tennessee is. They take on Georgia, who didn't look quite as good against Austin Peay, who, like, if we go to the FCS, Austin Peay is the biggest story for me in the FCS. They beat Middle Tennessee State. They
crushed them.
They don't get demolished by Georgia the way that some of these FCS schools get demolished by superior talent. Georgia won 28-6. Like, is this thing here, Austin Peay football, is actually good? I spent a lot of time in Clarksville, Tennessee as a kid, and all I can remember, two things about Austin Peay, was Bubba Wells was incredible, and that Austin Peay football may as well not exist. And I look up now, Austin Peay football might actually be pretty damn good.
And they have a great, you know, great cheer. Let's go pee. Well, no, I haven't looked at it that way, but you're right. Austin Peay, maybe Georgia is as good as we thought they were. They were just playing this tough Austin Peay squad that Austin Peay, because they beat in Middle Tennessee. That's right. I think maybe they're great. Watch out, Memphis. They could be getting that spot.
Great for a OVC team. Absolutely. And Tennessee may be looking around like, oh, we dodged a bullet. Nico got up out of here. We're somehow better offensively. Yeah. And you turn and you look to L.A. to see what Nico is up to and what UCLA is up to. And newsflash, they're still bad at football. So, like, that's something as well, a storyline that's been pretty good to follow.
What's your thoughts? Because, look, we're polar opposites. This show, we're more, you know, SEC homers. You are not an SEC homer by any stretch of the imagination. What are your thoughts?
That's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
What, Mr. Trump, yeah, I mean, I know you well, CJ. What are you thinking about the SEC right now? It's interesting because you're saying Tennessee, yeah, they're great. Georgia, Tennessee matchup is really going to tell us a lot this weekend about the status of the SEC. But what are you, or any thoughts on the SEC's current play here this season?
2 weeks in, you know, we can let it all play out a bit. You've got big wins out of conference. You think about Mississippi State knocking off Arizona State.
Which they haven't, apparently.
LSU going.
Well, the Mississippi State win, CJ, is so impressive because I was talking to our buddy Marcus Hunter earlier today. He does the pre- and post-game for Mississippi State football. And he's saying they have not beat a ranked opponent outside of the SEC since 1991.
Yeah.
Like, that is a long stretch. And Mississippi State has had some great years. And
it's not like Mississippi State is playing a bunch of ranked teams.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's one of those stats.
Does that include bowl games? I was wondering that too.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because that just seems like a long way. But you're right. I think the idea that you're mostly playing your ranked teams are going to be your in-conference ranked opponents that you beat most of the time. But Mississippi State, I'm so happy for those people. Like, it has been the Mississippi State fans. I don't know if there's anybody, and CJ, you hate the SEC, but I don't know. Were you not happy for the Mississippi State people? Like, they've had such a tough time since the passing of Mike Leach. Nothing. I mean, unless you're wearing an Ole Miss shirt or Ole Miss underwear, like George probably is over there. Like, you had to be happy for Mississippi State this past week, and they needed a joyous Saturday, and they haven't had one in so long, and it was what a moment in Starkville.
Hell no, because I had Arizona State to win the Big 12. What are we talking about here?
It's what about you? It's about you. I'm talking about all these Mississippians.
No,
they were so happy. No. They've had a rough time. They're at the bottom.
I was miserable watching that. But no, Mississippi State, somebody who I think we all thought preseason was going to finish around the bottom, if not the very bottom of the SEC, looking good against a team like Arizona State, who I think still has the talent to bounce back and win that conference and get to a CFP. But let's see what their mental is like. Getting that win is impressive. Auburn, what Auburn was able to do against Baylor, and they're also 2-0. The thing that I guess my biggest takeaway from the SEC 2 weeks in, is maybe the bottom of the SEC is a bit better than what I thought coming in. You know, teams like I thought Auburn, Mississippi State, throw Vanderbilt into that fold as well. Throw Arkansas in there also.
But not going to throw Kentucky. You're not going to throw Kentucky in there.
Throw Kentucky in too.
No, don't throw them in.
they almost beat Ole Miss. Right. They're a bit better than the top of the SEC is. Right. So maybe the top of the SEC might be a bit overhyped. 2 weeks in. Only 2 weeks in. Maybe the top of the SEC is a bit too hyped. And the bottom of the SEC is too maligned. Maybe they are closer than what I initially thought two weeks in. But we'll find out.
Me and Jeffrey have been talking about it. Really, there's not really as much of a top and bottom of the SEC anymore as much as there's just a huge middle in that SEC.
It's like it's obviously there are certain teams that are.
Who's at the top of the middle? And who's at the top of that? It's all in the middle.
Like I actually think if LSU is not the most complete team, like I think this could be a year where the SEC has like their worst case scenario, and they have just a bunch of teams between like 10-2 and 8-4, and then they're just going to be griping and complaining about strength of schedule.
Yeah,
because we obviously know the SEC champions getting in, and I think likely the SEC runner ups getting in. But then, like, if you run into this situation where you got a bunch of 3-loss teams after that, it's like, man, I don't know. And the way these things usually work out is usually one team does separate itself from the pack. And maybe another one will.
And it's early. Hard to separate yourself after 2 years.
Right. But, man, I see some teams that have flaws. And I see a lot of teams that are going to have to go on the road and have losable games that maybe on paper doesn't look that losable.
Yeah. I can see that also. But 9-3 is absolutely good enough to get you into the playoffs. We had a bunch of 9-3 teams in last year, and we had some teams that were 9-3 just missed the cut, if I remember correctly.
So the only quote unquote teams with three losses got in automatic. So Clemson gets in as the ACC champion. Every SEC team that was 9-3 got left out. And I'm not saying that that was wrong.
There's a huge difference this year, Jeffrey, because Justin Fuente is going to help influence who's getting in the playoffs. That breaking news this afternoon that Justin Fuente has been named as the football senior advisor for the college football playoff. I don't know how that's going to – Virginia Tech doesn't have a chance. But
yeah,
Memphis.
Like, I want to be clear, CJ. I'm not saying, like, oh, all these SEC teams could get in. What I'm saying is I'm envisioning a scenario where – the conversation's going to get really annoying really quickly.
Oh, that's college football come November. We're annoyed with one another. We've been doing this thing for, I don't know, 8-9 straight weeks. Everybody's got opinions that are terrible. We're going to be bickering about who should win the Heisman, and we're going to be bickering about who should get into the college football playoff. That's the beauty of it. That's the fun. LSU mess around, just pulling up their schedule, taking a look. If things hold and Clemson is a team that is in the ACC championship game, right? And LSU has that win over Clemson. And let's say they lose to Ole Miss, Alabama, and Oklahoma. They would still have wins over Texas A&M, South Carolina, and Clemson. That is 9-3. They aren't in the SEC title game. I think that is a resume that is good enough to get them in, where they have three ranked losses and three ranked wins. I think that if one of those is on the road at Clemson, I think that is good enough, assuming everything else holds and everybody doesn't, nobody falls off a cliff and everybody remains as good as they are now or as good as they're perceived to be now. That is a good enough schedule to get you into the CFP. So I think it depends on.
No, I definitely think you're 100% right. Is
can Ole Miss lose three games and get in?
Probably not. No, I think you're 100% right.
There are certain teams that can't.
There are certain teams, like if Florida, which I don't expect based on what we saw, but like Florida and Oklahoma, like they have schedules that when you play it out, it's like, okay, these are teams that could have three losses, but it's kind of like that classic thing. It's like, to your point, it's like, you have to have the right team with three losses be available. But it's like, and I don't really know if that's what's going to happen. Like, to me, like, the ultimate hilarious thing would be Florida loses this week and then goes to Baton Rouge and wins.
Yeah. What do we do next? Oklahoma has 9, as of now, Oklahoma, all of this can change because it's week-to-week rankings. As of right now, Oklahoma has 9 ranked games on their 12-game schedule.
Woo!
Oklahoma go 8-4 like that. Assuming everything holds and everybody feel good, Oklahoma loses games to. They've already beat Michigan. Let's say some goofy happens, they lose to Auburn, Texas, and Ole Miss. They would still have the win over Michigan. They would have a win over South Carolina. They'd have a win over Tennessee. They'd have a win over Alabama. They have a win over Missouri, who's ranked. They have a win over LSU, who's ranked. Yes, like, so the way we think about college football, it needs to change how we do these win, losses, and records. It can't just be, hey, how many wins do you have? So much of the frustration with the BCS era and the 4-team CFP was, okay, y'all are just rewarding teams for not losing, which I understand that, but you aren't rewarding teams for playing good opponents, and that can be frustrating. So you're telling me, let's say Indiana goes 10-2, right? And Oklahoma's 8-4. Hell, put Oklahoma in over Indiana because Indiana ain't played.
That's going to be hard to do. That's going to be hard to do, CJ.
That's the problem.
Like, you should have got Justin Fuente's spot on that committee.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm here.
It's going to be hard to do. Like, once, it's easy to say that, and it makes sense, but also it just does not make sense when one number is so much higher than the other number in that loss column.
So much higher. It's two more wins.
There's only a certain number of games. That's a high number.
No, but like to CJ's point, they have a stretch. Oklahoma's
a
stretch.
I agree with you.
Texas at South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, at Alabama, Missouri, LSU.
Missouri's going to be out of the top 25 by then. I mean, there's going to be, but still, they've got a tough stretch.
As of right now, they finish their final 6 games are against ranked teams.
Yes. They're having the toughest schedule, but.
No,
is that the smartest thing to do?
No, I mean, that's what the SEC was complaining about. It's like, and here we are. And here we are again. All right, my man, appreciate you.
All right, y'all.
That is CJ Hurt. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to give a hat tip to our good friend Lawrence for sending this one in. This from, of course, the U.S. men's national team head coach Mauricio Pochettino after the U.S. men's national team lost to South Korea. Of course, I want to win all the games, but if we cannot win, we need to be positive in knowing we are doing things to arrive in the World Cup in the best condition. He said this in the event of, because they've already qualified, they don't really, the record really doesn't matter. So cool.
Yeah. I mean, let's look ahead.
You play to develop the talent to win the game? I don't know. I think we
perform. Hey, you'll change your tune, Jeffrey, if they win it all.
I'm sure sure they will, as always. Want to thank CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.